Welcome to The Bridge, your ERG podcast. Our mission is to connect people, purpose, and progress through topics that are relevant to every teammate. And now, this month's host, Crew.
All right. Thank you for joining our podcast, Celebrating the Holidays with Your Crew. I'm Troy Fonso, a member of the Crew ERG group. Crew is the ERG group for family. It was created to support and uplift families and caregivers. The mission of Crew is to provide a safe space for teammates to share experiences and information on issues related to family and or caregiving responsibilities. Crew also serves as a channel for employee feedback and a champion for innovation, ideas, and change that support the evolving needs of working families. I'm joined with two other members of the Crew. Crew has 12 members. I'm joined by Kelly O'Donnell and Ashley Chantel. A little bit about me. I'm a business process specialist here. I've been with the association a little over 5 years. In my crew, I have a wife of, we'll be married 30 years next year. We have two adult daughters, one that is 26 and the other 23. So I survived two teenage daughters. So that's my input for crew. Also, I come from a large family. So I have a mother that's suffering with some health issues, dementia, Alzheimer's. So that's kind of how I have been able to provide input to crew. So I'll let Kelly take it from there and introduce herself.
Yeah, thanks, Troy. My name is Kelly O'Donnell, and I am a member of the Business Learning Solutions team. I've been with the associations just under 5 years. And my crew is the opposite of Troy's. I actually have three adult boys. And so my oldest is 28, and he is married and has two kiddos of his own. So I am officially a Grammy. And then I have a 25-year-old that lives with me and a 22-year-old that will be graduating from UNL in December. And then my extended crew, I have my mom who is still with us, and then a brother and sister-in-law. So pretty intimate family. And I'll pass it off to Ashley.
Thanks, Kelly. My name is Ashley Chantel, and I have been with the organization for just over 6 years. So I am currently the VP of Application Development. We focus on the machinery and equipment space, but I've had a few different roles throughout the organization and have been with Crew for 2 years. So with my contribution to Crew, unlike these two, I don't have adult children yet. I'm in the thick of it with little ones. So I have three kids with my husband, Rob. We have an 11-year-old in middle school. Her name is Cora. And we have a fourth grader, Lydia, and then a almost kindergartner, but he missed the cutoff. So a 5-year-old named Everett. And so we have this year we are navigating the holidays with the joy of also trying to navigate three different schools and three different activity schedules. So it is certainly busy at our house, but we love our crew. Extended crew, I've got three sisters, and we live all in Gretna and Lincoln. So we're a pretty big crew when we get together, and we're loud and we're fun. And yeah, that's a little bit about my family.
Great. We'll go ahead and jump into the podcast here. So we recently just celebrated Thanksgiving, which is often the unofficial kickoff to the holidays. How do you carry the spirit of Thanksgiving into the holiday season busyness that December often brings?
Yeah, I can go first on this one. So I actually am, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. So I know it is sandwiched in between, you know, Halloween and Christmas, but I love Thanksgiving. And I typically start the season by actually hosting a Friendsgiving with some friends from college, which is just a really fun way to reunite. But the one thing that we do in our family, we actually do it year round, but especially in December, we try to make sure we don't. At the dinner table, we always go around and we do a gratitude conversation where we say two things we're thankful for. And it can be as simple as, you know, like one time I said, I'm thankful for my washing machine because I have done 7 loads of dirty laundry today and I can't imagine life without it. Or it can be, you know, I'm thankful for the teachers in my kid's life. And we really have some really good conversation about what all of our family is thankful for. And by doing that every day throughout the holidays, it's just a really helpful grounding technique to say, this is why the holidays are so important, and we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah, I will piggyback off of that, Ashley. I'm kind of the same way. I think an attitude of gratitude is just so very important. And I try to practice that every day. I actually have a reminder on my Outlook that says gratitude, and it pops up every morning, and I pretty much snooze it throughout the day so that it's just a reminder to say, hey, like, what am I thankful for in the last 2 hours? You know, I'm thankful for this podcast going well. I'm thankful for whatever it is. And so I think just trying to practice that attitude of gratitude, especially during the holidays, is really important.
Yeah, similar to what you guys said, Thanksgiving is also my favorite holiday. To me, it's more than just the one day where we have Thanksgiving. And we're here at the Association. We're very lucky to have Black Friday off. And if you've ever worked at a bank, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I feel that it kind of leads into the whole holiday kickoff, but it's, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a long weekend. I also like it because it's not, you know, it's not exclusive to a certain religion. Anybody can celebrate it. Anybody can have things to be thankful for, like Ashley said, thankful for a wash machine. So it may be little, but everybody has something that they could be thankful for. So considering your crew now, what are current traditions you look forward to each year? Are there any traditions that you decide to start, modify as your family evolved?
Yeah, I'll take that one. When I was a little girl, we always took our Christmas stockings over to my grandma's house on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, after we opened up presents at my house, we would go over to my grandma's. And sure enough, Santa had always come and filled our stockings over there. And so as I had kids, that was one of those traditions that I really wanted to keep. Because it was just so very special. And as I had kids, we added the addition of caramel pecan rolls, which as my three boys got larger, we had to have more and more pans of caramel pecan rolls. But that's to this day one of the things that my boys always mention as we get closer to the holidays is, do you have all the supplies for the caramel pecan rolls? It's not so much about the stockings, it's about the rolls.
You know, similarly in our house, we started doing cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. But one, I love this question, Troy, because one of the things that I have, you know, evolved as a mom and as my husband and I have worked through the holidays through multiple years is traditions have had to change a little bit. So we didn't always do cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. That was something that we introduced. And at first, the first year I tried to make them. And if you love making them and you're really great, Kelly, it sounds like your caramel rolls are delicious. That's awesome. But like, cinnamon rolls are not where my passion was. And I modified that and said, you know what? I'm going to buy cinnamon rolls from a local store and I'm going to support local and they're going to be delicious. And it does not have to matter that they're homemade. The idea is I can throw sprinkles on them and have sprinkled cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning regardless. And so I think giving myself grace in that tradition and evolving it was really important. You know, other things that we look forward to in our family that aren't food related, my mom actually still does pajamas for the grandkids. So I know a lot of families do that where they, you know, they get matching pajamas. That has been we've done that since I was a little kid. We've always gotten pajamas, not always matching, but we have some really funny stories about those pajamas throughout the years. Whoever gets to help my mom is called the pajama fairy. And one year my sister was relinquished of her pajama fairy duties because she didn't pick out very flattering ones for us. But just really good memories there. And my kids look forward to it every year too. And then the last thing I'll say is we started a couple years ago. You know, I mentioned my youngest is 5. So when he turned 2 or 3, we started this concept of game night on Christmas. So we get to open one present on Christmas Eve, and it's always a game. It's a family present. And we typically play that after we get home from church and we open this present. The kids know it's a game. Last year, the game was a Nintendo Switch, and we sat and we played Mario Kart as a family, and it was really, really fun. And I know that's a little untraditional to maybe play Mario Kart on Christmas Eve, but it was just a really nice way to say, hey, this is what we're doing as a family. We're spending time together and we look forward to it every year. So My last thing on traditions is I will always just say I'm a really big believer in it's still a tradition even if you have to skip it 1 year. You know, like look at back at how many things we had to modify tradition-wise for COVID in 2020. That doesn't mean it's not a tradition. It means that 1 year it looked different. And so giving yourself grace as you think about what traditions you want to start or maybe end, I think it's a very freeing approach on traditions because I get a little overwhelmed in the pressure of like, I must do this for the next 25 years. And I think there's a lot of room for flexibility there.
Yeah, my wife has always gotten pajamas for the girls as well. And now as they're older, they actually get three of them for them. I'm not included in those because a lot of times they're very girly with pink in them. So I actually have a Santa pajamas that I wear every year. So I'm the Santa in the picture with them wearing matching pajamas. We actually do breakfast pizza, something I started about 10 years ago. I'll buy it from Hy-Vee or Casey's ahead of time, cook it that morning as we're opening gifts, and then it's available for us. We still do Christmas Eve Mass. That's a tradition we will always have. We do Christmas lights. We'll go watch, go drive around, look at Christmas lights. We'll take hot chocolate. Now the girls are older, we can add more fluids to that as far as adult fluids. And then we still do all the family service projects. As the girls have gotten older, obviously they both have boyfriends now, so they want to spend time with their families. So we've accommodated that. The other thing that's changed is my oldest daughter Paige lives in New Mexico, so that's something that's added to our Christmas is the Christmas traveling, which is a great segue to our next topic, which how does travel play into your Christmas tradition? So, as I discussed, Paige lives in New Mexico, so she spends time prior to Christmas with her boyfriend's family that they live in California. So they'll spend time there a week before, and then they'll be coming up here the week of Christmas and spending some time to New Year's with us. So that's just a way that it's changed. And hopefully the weather works out that they're able to make it because they're going to be driving from New Mexico the week of Christmas. So fingers crossed they don't run into any weather related travels issues. So
Yeah, weather-related travel issues brings back a lot of memories because we used to live in Minnesota when our girls were really little. So they were 1 and 3, and for years we would spend the entire week between Christmas and New Year's coming back to both Nebraska and Kansas, and it was really challenging to try and pack up your family and make sure that you're doing these traditions and seeing all the family and getting to church, but it's not your church that you normally go to. And that was really challenging. So the one thing we did decide when we moved back from Minnesota was that we really kind of wanted Christmas morning to be just at the time it was 4 of us, now it's 5, but we really wanted it to just be our individual family. And my sisters all, you know, they have kids too, and we wanted to respect that. We still want to get together, and we've tried a couple of different things. But where we landed over the years is that we said, okay, because half my family lives in Lincoln and half of them lives in Gretna. And so we say, you know, we'll alternate, but Christmas afternoon and evening, we get together for what we call soup, salad, and breadsticks. So we'll play on the Olive Garden, but that's a really lovely tradition that we do. And then for my family in Kansas City, we typically will celebrate early. Just because of schedules and things like that. So we'll go down. So we're actually going down next weekend for Thanksgiving, to be able to spend time with them there. And so having families that are willing to coordinate schedules with travel, it gets more and more complicated, Troy, as you mentioned, adding people into the mix, but really being flexible in what you do. And I, you know, we talked about celebrating Thanksgiving. One of our 1 year we had to celebrate Thanksgiving on Saturday with our extended family, and that feels a little off because you know you get Thursday off for to celebrate, but that doesn't mean it's any less thankful or any less of a celebration because we had it on Saturday. And so accommodating for that travel, I think, but definitely recognize the challenge of traveling with especially with kids and gifts, and you know they're out of routine and I can empathize with anyone who does that. So if you have any great tips, maybe you can post your ideas in the comments after this is posted.
Yeah, I sympathize with both of you. I've been very blessed in that my entire family and my extended family and my husband's family, they've all been in Omaha. So it's just a matter of juggling like whose house we're going to be at what time. And I'm blessed that my son, his wife, her family is here too. So again, it's just one of those that we were juggling, like where in the Omaha vicinity are you going to be and at what time? But we don't luckily have to navigate long travels. So that's nice.
This episode's podcast ponder question is
the next one. Let's see. What is the best piece of advice you received as you learn to navigate the holidays with your ever-changing crew?
And I believe this is our podcast ponder question. So I will say when Cora was a baby, so Cora's my oldest, when she was one, I was in a one-on-one with my leader at the time. And I was just like, I have so much to do. And I'm trying to figure out Christmas cards and, you know, making it, you know, the reason for the season and all these different things. And he gave me a piece of advice that I still to this day use. And it was, he said, have you ever heard of the want, wear, need, read method? And I said, no, what are you talking about? But essentially, it was the idea of the kids get four presents from mom and dad. And you could modify this, right? Like you could maybe however you want. But the concept are we categorize their presents. So the kids know every year their presents fall into these categories. So what's one thing they want? What is one thing they need to wear? Something they need? And something to read. And so I think that it helps. And my kids, my 9-year-old in the car the other day, she goes, well, what am I gonna, you know, what should I say that I need this year? Like, it just kind of, it kind of gave some boundaries to make Christmas not become all about just buying things and really focusing just, again, for me, like focusing on the reason for the season. And it helped reduce some of that chaos that for me felt with my house is being overwhelmed by presents. And so that was a life-changing piece of information. I recommend it to a lot of different people especially if you struggle with like, I don't know where to stop, when to stop buying presents, right? So I like that piece of advice a lot.
That's great. I never got any really great advice. So I'm looking forward to everybody like advising me and taking advantage of the podcast ponder question.
Yeah, it's interesting this ponder question about ever-changing crew. And a lot of times your ever-changing crew doesn't have to be family. I've already talked to how my daughters have boyfriends now, we're including them. But we also have friends that, you know, we do things throughout the year with. So this year, Christmas Day, there's about four families that are going to be in town. So after we've kind of celebrated our Christmas morning, we're going to get together, play games at their house, bring some soup, lounge around in our Christmas pajamas. So that'll be a fun day. And it's just another way that we're extending our crew and including the extended crew. Holidays are often associated with baking. What are some of the baking traditions you have? In my house, we do cutout cookies. We've been using the same cutout cookies since I was a kid. When my mom passed them down, I kind of made sure that I got them. And I might have gotten them actually a couple of years before she decided to pass them on. I borrowed them and just never returned them. So that's kind of how I inherited those. But that's one thing we do. You know, we do the other things, you know, the Ritz crackers with the peanut butter dipped in chocolate. That's another one of our favorites. And I also have a recipe for eggnog that I make. It's non-alcoholic. And it's a family recipe that we've had for years. I remember drinking it as a child. So I also make that Christmas Day as well and share it with my family and friends as well.
Yeah, holiday baking is one of those things that I didn't do for a very long time. When I got married, my mom gave me a cookbook with all of my favorite recipes, and it included all of the Christmas cookies that she baked year in and year out. And for 20 plus years, I never bake them because I never considered myself a baker. And then in 2020, my youngest son came home from college and he announced that he was going to bake cookies. And so he was baking and I was like, well, if he can bake, I can bake. And so I pulled out that cookbook and I started baking these cookies and it morphed into like a 4-day baking marathon. And a text that went out to my brother on Christmas Eve saying, hey, do you want to have a Christmas cookie like throwdown? And he baked my mom's sugar cookie recipe. I baked my mom's sugar cookie recipe. And then on Christmas morning, we gave her a plate of cookies and she was charged with doing a blind taste test to see who perfected the recipe best. And we've just kind of carried that on. So now I am not a great baker, but I at least enjoy baking those cookies.
I love that, Kelly. You're speaking my language now. Like I used to work for Betty Crocker during the baking season. I worked on BettyCrockers.com and you get a lot of holiday baking ideas when you work there, right? And so I'm always like, it's a matter of limiting down, like, which ones do I have to make every year? Which are ones that I can try new? And, you know, you talk about traditions. Well, the list of must-haves gets longer and longer. But in my house, we usually, me and my daughters, now that they're old enough to help me, we do a big baking day. Like last year, my sister and niece joined us. And we, you know, have a whole plan. We set it all out and we clear off the counter and we bake all day. And then the other piece that I really love is when we moved to Nebraska about 8 years ago, I started hosting a cookie exchange for my neighborhood at the time. And then we kind of morphed it into just all my friends. And we look forward to it every year. So everyone brings 2 to 3 dozen cookies and then you do this exchange and then you leave with kind of a variety platter. And it's a really fun way to say, you know, I love those Ritz peanut butter crackers dipped in chocolate. I never have time to make them, but someone usually brings them. So I get a few and we can get that fill our kind of Christmas cookie wish list. So it's just something we really look forward to. Last year, though, what I accidentally set the time of the party to start an hour early, and someone showed up, and I was like, "Why are you here?" And they were like, "Because this is what time the party starts." And I was like adamant that they were wrong. Turns out I was wrong. So funny memories can also come with that. But I look forward to it every year. So a month from today, we'll be having my cookie exchange. So.
Earlier, we had talked about traditions. What are some ways that your family enjoys giving back to the community during the holiday season?
Yeah, this is a fun memory for my family. When my boys were younger, they obviously had to have some service hours for school. And so we usually like incorporated that into the holiday season. And we as a family would go and ring bells for the Salvation Army. I do not like cold weather. So I usually let my husband and the boys do that. And then I would show up for like the last 30 minutes because I just did not like cold weather. But I did find, here's a pro tip, for anybody who lives in the Omaha area, if you ring bells at Nebraska Furniture Mart, it's inside. So for like the last 3 or 4 years that we did this as a family, that's where we did it. We would always get on very early and book these spots at NFM so that we could ring bells inside, which was fun, but also it kept me warm.
Yeah, warm weather is definitely easier to do that. And we're actually doing that with our Girl Scouts this year too. So we are really fortunate from a service perspective. Our church usually offers several opportunities to give back. So one of the ones that we've done for as many years as I can remember is it's called Project We Care. It's through the Millard, but it's essentially you get students to who may not have as much under the tree unless, you know, they're sponsored. And so we get these students and then you get to go shop for them and they have a wish list. And it's really fun because to see the thoughtfulness of like, well, what do we want their Christmas morning to look like? They really want, you know, this Nike sweatshirt, or they really said they prefer this color. And it just really showing the kids that it is about giving back and not just about purchasing or thinking about what's on your own Christmas list. So really love Project We Care.
Yeah, one of the traditions we've done, and I actually started when I was in high school, is delivering food during for a Christmas dinner to families in need with Operation Others. And I started it doing it with my girls when they were probably old enough to kind of understand, 5 or 6, I think we started. And it's an opportunity, one, to help people that are in need, but also kind of remind my girls that, you know, they're fortunate that they have food, a nice place to live, and to kind of get that tradition built in their mind. My wife and I also dress as Santa and Mrs. Claus for my wife's work, and they do support Angels Among Us, which is a great organization. They do a whole Christmas party. Their work provides gifts for the family as well. So that's just another thing that we've adopted over the years to help out the community. We've talked a lot about navigating the fun parts of the holidays, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that the holidays can be really tough for people. Do any of you have any thoughts to share about working through struggles in the holiday?
Yeah, I can go first on this one. So I'm pretty open about this, but I struggle a lot with anxiety, particularly holiday anxiety. So over the years, I've learned to cope with this and really learned to manage it, but I didn't have it figured out very well when my girls were little. And so some of the things that I have done is really, I remove social media about around early November, because it just, I get too much in the comparison, and this family did that, and that's not what my Christmas looks like. And I can get in my head a little bit about, and really having to decide that my joy comes from within and not from doing all the things. That's not, you can have a lot of joy around Christmas and keep it simple. I will also share that, like, you know, one of our funnier memories that was also very tough was, like, we wanted to do gingerbread houses as a tradition. Like, we talked earlier about, you know, starting these traditions. And the first year we tried it, it's a good thing my marriage survived, but it was really tough. Like, we just couldn't get these gingerbread houses to stick, and we were very frustrated, and it was not a fun, joyful activity. It was not joyous. And so then the next year after that, we figured out that there are these things called pre-built gingerbread houses. They cost a little bit extra, and they are worth every single penny. So I empathize with anyone who really is trying to find that joy and constantly battling kind of those headwinds of social media and pressure and comparison, and really just would encourage you to focus on that joy is within you and your family, and you get to decide the holiday that you are preparing for. And so that's my biggest thing I would share.
Yeah. Like I said, the holidays can be very stressful, managing family and jobs, wanting to make it special, but also realizing that there aren't extra hours in the day. You have to set limits. You can't do everything that you want to do. Like Ashley mentioned, is about, you know, picking and choosing. You may not do something every year, but if you do it every other year, it's still a tradition. It's still something that you enjoy doing. And also the social media aspect of it. You know, we all have those people that post everything they're doing during Christmas, and you're like, man, how do they do that? It's like, it's hard not to compare yourself to the Joneses and keep up with the Joneses. But that's a big part of setting those limits and what you can do for your family to make it special, and what you can do for your crew as well.
Yeah, I love that, Troy. About 9 years ago, my holidays changed dramatically. My marriage ended, and I found myself as a divorcee with these three boys who still wanted all of the things, right? All of the traditions. They wanted everything to carry on. And so that was really, really difficult for me to navigate. And I won't say that our holidays are perfect, because we're still navigating what does that look like. But one of the things that I really over the years have given myself the grace to do is just to be really present, not only with the boys, because our time around the holidays is fairly limited. I mentioned earlier that my crew is fairly small, but my boys, on their dad's side, have a really large crew. My ex-husband is from a really large family. And so all of their cousins and so forth are on their dad's side. So they like to spend the holidays with that extended family. And so a lot of times it's just then myself, my brother, my mom, And so that can be really tough. But if I just really focus on allowing myself to feel the things that I'm feeling, and being present with the people who are with me in that moment, I think that that's where I find the greatest gift and the greatest joy. And so allow yourself to be, to feel those things, but then also enjoy the gift of that present moment.
All right, last topic for the podcast here is, what is your all-time favorite memory of the holiday season? I struggled picking just one for this. I think I mentioned earlier, I'm the youngest of seven. So even the leading up when I was a kid, you know, the week leading up to Christmas where you're out of school, all your brothers and sisters are around, you're doing stuff with them, you're spending 24 hours a day with them. Those are fond memories that I had. And then also the Christmases that my mom and dad provided for us. My dad was a big handyman, so he would make a lot of homemade gifts, which I still have a lot of those that I will treasure forever. But probably my all-time favorite memory, my daughter Paige was about three or four and got a dress-up bridal gown for Christmas. And of course, she had to put it on right away there at Christmas. And we were at Christmas at my mom and dad's Christmas Eve. So we do have a video of my daughter doing a dance with my father, who's since passed away. So that's a holiday memory that I'll treasure forever.
Oh, that is awesome, Troy.
Cue the tears on that one, Troy.
Right? Mine is
we're
a little,
all crying.
Yeah, mine is a little more lighthearted, but similar. I had so many to choose from because I call my boys the Brothers Brown, and they never fail to surprise me with different things around the holidays. But I think one of my favorite memories was when my youngest son, Isaac, decided to send me his Christmas wish list in the form of a PowerPoint, complete with links to the websites where I could purchase all of the items that were in the PowerPoint. And as a learning and development specialist who like created PowerPoints for a living at the time, like, I just thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. I was just like, well, you are speaking my language, son. Congratulations. You're getting everything on your list. But I just thought that was really fun.
That's funny. I watched a video the other day about their teenagers doing that to their moms. Okay, here's the video and here's all the things. So it's apparently maybe an effective strategy. My favorite memory is I'm always going to go back to my engagement. So my husband and I got engaged when we were in college the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And it was unexpected. I was expecting it, you know, 6 months later. But what was really funny about this one was our extended families were planning to get together for a joint meal the Friday after Thanksgiving. So we decided we're not going to tell anyone because we want them all to experience the same message at the same time. So we're going to wait till Friday to tell them. So we're sitting on Thursday through the Thanksgiving meal, and we have this like little cousin of mine, and she's like, when are you guys going to get married? And we were trying so hard to keep it together, but it was really important to us that we told both families at the same time. So we sat through the awkward pressure of like, you're never going to, you know, when are you going to plan a wedding? And then we got to tell them on Friday. So super fun memory. And I will always think fondly of that.
Well, that wraps up our podcast here. Thank you for listening to Celebrating the Holidays with Your Crew. These podcasts have been extended for 2025, so crew will be having one in the first quarter. So look out for that, and look out for all the events that all the ERG groups have coming up in 2025. So, and also make sure to comment on Yammer for the podcast ponder question, which, what's the best advice you received as you learn to navigate holidays with your ever-changing crew? And also make sure you comment so that you can be eligible to win swag. So on behalf of crew, thank you. And Ashley and Kelly, thank you for being part of this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. Happy holidays.